Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. It's a Fights in Football Friday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. The name should make it fairly clear. We're going to be looking at Week 4 in the Canadian Football League, and we're going to look at UFC 303, along with AEW Forbidden Door. If you want some more of my thoughts on the NHL draft, did a quick audio-only pod yesterday. That was just kind of a live chat from Twitch stream that we did, so I guess if you want the video portion, that Twitch stream is up on YouTube right now. And also, I've been on Sportsnet 960 The Fan the last 3 days, so I'm admittedly a little hockeyed out. So, let's get into the football, shall we? All right, it is week 4 in the Canadian Football League. It started last night with the BC Lions picking up a win over the Edmonton Elks, and it continues today with Montreal taking on Toronto. This is going to be a really, really interesting game because you have, on the one side, when Montreal has the ball, you have the Alouettes, who have a top 3 offense in basically every category. Points, touchdowns, net offense, average yards per play, rushing yards, average gain on first down. The one category that they aren't really tops in is first downs because they score too many touchdowns. Meanwhile, their defense is tops in points allowed per game by almost a full touchdown. So let's start when Montreal has the football. They absolutely annihilated Ottawa a week ago, just through the air, constant attack. Fletcher has turned into a pretty good running back for this team in replacing William Stanback as well. And so, like, this looks like an elite offense. Cody Fajardo, whatever he found in the postseason a year ago, he has just kept. And he is continuing to roll for the Montreal Alouettes. And that has been really impressive to watch over the last little bit. Going up against the Toronto defense, that has struggled to start this season. They came on late against BC, and so I thought they would get going, but they got picked apart by McLeod Bethel-Thompson a week ago, and I have major concerns about what this defense is going to look like against this very good Montreal offense. Now, they do have guys who can get to the quarterback. They just haven't been doing it consistently enough, and that has allowed teams to move the ball on this team really well. So, can they get at Fajardo enough? We will see going forward. When Toronto has the football, Dukes has been good. He has a lot of weapons that he can go to. They have that three-headed monster in the backfield. We talked about it on the Power Ranking show. They are a really, really dangerous football team and have quite a few things that they can get going, including like I said, in including that run game. And so they now go up against a Montreal defense that has looked really good so far and has been able to put a whole lot of pressure on teams. And like I was so impressed with what they did against Ottawa the other night. So give me Montreal in this game. I just feel like the Alouettes are on another level right now. Winnipeg taking on Calgary. We have seen some signs of life from Winnipeg in the last little bit. Specifically in the last little bit of their last game against the BC Lions. They do still lose that game, but this is, I think, a team that can kind of find that groove. No Dalton Schoen hurts a lot, but I do believe that this is still a passing attack that can move the football with Dembski, along with Wolitarski. Oliveira should be factoring into this more and more as the weeks kind of go along and you get further and further removed from him being banged up. On the Calgary side, they've looked good. Like, Jake Mayer has looked a whole lot better than I thought he would to start this season. And I think I've said before that this is a very important year for him. This is a very important game. This Winnipeg defense hasn't looked all that good in the first couple of weeks, and we will see what they're able to do. I do think Winnipeg does just have a little bit more than Calgary does, even with some of the struggles that Winnipeg has had over the last little bit. So I am picking Winnipeg in this spot. And then Ottawa taking on Hamilton. I think this is going to be a Wild West shootout. Neither of these teams can stop anything. And both of these offenses have the weapons to be able to push the ball downfield. I think a big key in this game for Hamilton is, can Tim White get going? He has really struggled in the first 3 games of the season. And if it doesn't happen here, I don't know if it's going to happen. Ottawa's defense is just not good enough for where they are at right now. And so I think when you look at Hamilton and their play with Bo Levi Mitchell. He thrived under these types of matchups before, and I think he thrives in this one again. I got the Hamilton Tiger Cats winning this one, and I think it's going to go over whatever total ends up being this weekend. So a little bit rapid fire there, but those are our picks for the week ahead here in the Canadian Football League. All right, let's shift gears and talk some UFC as UFC 303 goes down from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's break it down. It is UFC 303 from T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada, also known as Las Vegas. In the main event, Alex Pereira defending his UFC light heavyweight championship as he goes up against Yuri Prochazka. For Pereira, he is the champion coming into this one, 36 years old out of Sao Paulo, Brazil. Poetan is the nickname. He has had an unbelievable run through the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He has a 10-2 record in mixed martial arts in general, starting in the UFC in his fifth professional bout. He has lost just once. That was a title rematch against Israel Adesanya. So 10-2 is the record, making him 7-1 in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, coming off of a knockout win over Jamal Hill back at UFC 300. Taking on Prochazka, 31 years old, born in Czechoslovakia. He is a former light heavyweight champion who actually lost the belt to Poatan back at UFC 295 at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. He's bounced back with a win over Alexander Rakic. I thought that was an important win for Prochazka coming up against Rakic. I just didn't see enough to make me think that he is back on Pereira's level. Chatted with Aaron Bronstetter today on Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, and chatted about this matchup a little bit, and I thought he made a good point. Like, Prochazka, for him to get to Pereira, he's going to have to put himself in a dangerous situation. And I just feel like Pereira, so technically sound, is just on another level right now. He is going to be able to pick apart Prochazka. That makes it seem like it's not going to be a close fight. This is going to be, I think, a close bout. I just think that Pereira is just a bit more refined, and is just, like I said, he is just on another level right now when it comes to the striking game. And so I do think that he comes away with a victory in this bout here this weekend. I think it's going to be a real fun fight. I think Prochazka is going to absolutely test him. But I do think that Alex Pereira comes away with the victory. Right now, Pereira is minus 141 to win. We don't really have a whole lot of buy. Oh, okay, here we go. Pereira by knockout is minus 120. So you're getting maybe a little bit better there than the minus 141. But I think I'll just take the minus 141 just to get the nice. We don't have to worry about a submission popping up. We don't have to worry about this one going the distance. We can just feel comfortable in what we are doing with taking Pereira, sorry, by to win by any means necessary. In now the lightweight division, it is Brian Ortega taking on Diego Lopez. These two generally featherweight fighters, but it has changed as these guys took this fight on short notice. He is born in Brazil, that he being Lopez, with a record of 24-6. He has won three fights in a row after taking his UFC debut on short notice against Movsar Evloev. He has three fights, the longest of which is a minute 38. He has been an absolute dynamo, taking on Brian Ortega, who is now 33 years old, born in Los Angeles, California. He beat Yair Rodriguez by arm triangle in the third round of their fight night earlier this year, back in February in Mexico City. But before that, he had lost three of his last four. Now, those three, Volkanovski, Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez, those are three pretty good fighters to be fighting. And there's no shame in the game to losing to those guys. So I do think that some of the talk that Ortega was kind of losing his way might be a little exaggerated here. And I think for Lopez, this is a big jump in competition. But when you beat Sadiq Youssef in the way that he did, I do think that there is I do think that this is a regular jump up in competition for him. And so I just have the feeling that Lopez is on his roll right now. And so I think he gets it done. I like him on the feet significantly more than I like Brian Ortega. And so for that reason, I think Lopez is going to be able to avoid that really good ground game that Brian Ortega has. And I think he's going to be able to get the job done in this fight. Not enough to lock in at minus 137, but enough that I think this is going to be a fun one. And I'm going to make the pick of Diego Lopez over Brian Ortega. In the light heavyweight division, it's Anthony Smith taking on Roman Dolidze. You have Anthony Smith, born in Corpus Christi, Texas, 35 years old, coming off of a win over Vitor Petrino in his last bout back at UFC 301. Taking on Dolidze, who was born in Georgia. The USSR one. He has lost back-to-back fights to Nasruddin Imavov and Marvin Vettori, but is 12-3 overall and has been in the Ultimate Fighting Championship back since 2020. Dolidze is a very strong fighter, but Anthony Smith, there was something else in that game plan that he had against Vitor Petrino, and that was another one where he had snapped a stretch where he had lost three of four. The three losses, Magomed Ankalaev, Johnny Walker, and Khalil Roundtree. I think Dolidze has kind of stalled a little bit, and I think he has lost to fighters who are lesser than what Anthony Smith can bring to the table. I think you again see a bit of a well-rounded approach here from Anthony Smith, and I do think he ends up getting the win. Anthony Smith is an underdog on this one at plus 120. Let's go with the dog. Let's go with Anthony Smith. Then, at women's bantamweight, it is Mayra Bueno Silva taking on Macy Chiasson. You have Bueno Silva, who is 32 years old, born in Brazil. She hasn't won in her last two bouts. One was a no contest, and the other was a loss for the vacant women's bantamweight championship to Raquel Pennington earlier this year. Taking on Macy Chiasson, born in New Orleans, Louisiana. She is coming off of a win in her return to bantamweight in her last bout after back-to-back catchweight fights due to opponents missing weight and just the one fight being scheduled for that. Chiasson has also missed weight in her time. That was back against Raquel Pennington December 18th, 2021. You've had Bueno Silva this week talking about how she believes she is the better fighter and the best fighter at women's bantamweight. She just lost to Raquel Pennington, so it's tough to really make that claim. But I do think that she is on, again, another level than Macy Chiasson. I just don't think that Macy has seen this level of competition yet. And so when she gets in there, I do think she's going to be a little bit overwhelmed by this. Give me Bueno Silva in a close decision. And Silva, it's essentially, when you look at the odds, it's essentially a pick 'em right now. And then we get into the welterweight division. It is Ian Machado Gary taking on Michael Venom Page. Michael Venom Page is like nothing that very few fighters who go in there against him have seen before. Gary is actually a significant favorite in this one. Not significant, significant. We've seen greater ones. There's bigger on this card. Joe Pyfer is minus 312 over Marc-Andre Barrio. But you have Michael Venom Page, you have Ian Gary, who's coming in at minus 167. So, for what we have seen so far on this main card, that is, I think, a significant favorite. And I just, look, I have made it clear, I have not been impressed with what I've seen by, from Machado Gary over the last little bit. I think his last two fights have been a little bit underwhelming, and Page has come in and looked really dynamic. He is such an incredible fighter and has such a wide-ranging skill set on the feet. I think he causes a lot of problems for Gary. I'm going to call the upset here. We're going to go MVP Michael Venom Page at plus 142 to get the win. And let's see, do we have MVP by knockout is plus 300. Maybe worth a little bit of a sprinkle on that one. So we will absolutely take that. Okay, so that is your UFC 300 breakdown. There's also quite a bit going on in the pro wrestling world as we get ready for Forbidden Door. Let's break it down. 8EW Forbidden Door goes down this weekend, and it happens at the UBS Arena in New York. In the main event, it is for the AEW World Championship, Swerve Strickland taking on Will Ospreay, but this is a pretty stacked card. However, there is some frustration with it before we get into the actual breakdown of this card. Because, and look, this is going to be a really fun night of professional wrestling. I don't think there is a question how good this night and this show is going to be. There's going to be so much to enjoy on this from a wrestling standpoint. I hate how we got here. I had said coming into the week that what we were looking for was a big dynamite, a big blowaway episode. This has to be one of their biggest ones coming off of a really disappointing rating a couple of weeks ago. This needed to be a blowaway. And I thought Dynamite, as just like if I'm popping in and watching this 5 years from now, fun show. In terms of building up to this pay-per-view, I thought it was dreadful. I hated how they treated that first segment. There was I'm going to talk about MJF against Hatchisero, and I have already talked more about that than this show did. You had Swerve Strickland make things personal with Will Ospreay, mentioning his kids and his family, and they had a nose-to-nose, and they were like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior in the lead-up to WrestleMania 6, face-to-face, fuming mad, ready to compete for the World Championship. And this week, nothing. No follow-up on that whatsoever. This was incredibly frustrating to see how this all was built. It felt very disjointed. It felt very all over the place, and it really does feel like it's what we talked about before. This feels like some WWE from a few years ago, where it was, look, storylines, a little annoying. Maybe with like a 1 minute video package, they can make it make sense. But we know the in-ring is going to be good. And that's kind of where AEW is at right now. So just quickly, on the pre-show, Chris Statlander and Momo Watanabe taking on Willow Nightingale and Tam Nakano. Tam Nakano is a personal favorite of mine. And Willow Nightingale, I think, has found another level with her character. So absolutely, I think that's going to be a fun one. Mariah May taking on Saraya in the Women's Owen Hart Cup tournament in the first round. I think Saraya gets a win there, and building her up as a potential threat for Wembley. And then a trios match, Los Ingobernables de Japón, with Yota Tsuji, Titan, and Hiromu Takahashi taking on Lucha Bros with Penta El Zero Miedo and Rey Fénix, along with Mystico. This one is just going to be fun as hell, and the fact that it's going to be free is actually kind of crazy. Then we get into the ladder match for the vacant AEW TNT Championship. Konosuke Takeshita taking on Mark Briscoe, taking on Jack Perry, taking on Dante Martin, taking on Leo Rush, taking on El Phantasmo. You have a lot of guys who are going to do a lot of wild stuff in this match. It is going to look crazy. It is going to look wild. In the end, it does feel like this is building toward Jack Perry getting the win and everyone in the Elite, at least that we know of for now, getting gold. And I think that is really exciting. I think that this is a performer that has really found his own with this character. And this match is going to be fun. I think they've done an all right job of building up some tension between Mark Briscoe and Jack Perry. Takeshita is on his way to the G1. I have said before, he feels like a star. And the other three, Martin, Leo Rush, and El Phantasmo, are in there to do some fun stuff. Toni Storm, timeless Toni Storm, taking on Mina Shirakawa for the AEW Women's World Championship. Mariah May will be at ringside in support of both participants. I think that Mina has done a very good job of promoting herself here in North America. I have said before, I have been a big fan of her work in Stardom. Every time like she slides into the ring, she does the wink of the camera, and just the way she carries herself. It's like, I own 51% of this ring. She just has an aura and a charisma about her that you just absolutely fall in love with, and is a very, very good professional wrestler. And she has handled things really well with a timeless Toni Storm character that, quite frankly, has swallowed up others in the past. So if this is the start of a long run in North America for Mina Shirakawa, eventually sign me up, because she was great. There's no chance she's winning the championship here, I don't think, before timeless Toni Storm, as with All In on the horizon. I don't think that's the case. Trios match, the learning tree of Chris Jericho and Big Bill, along with Jeff Cobb, who I believe that's supposed to be a surprise, but maybe that was something that was on a collision already, so if I've spoiled something, I apologize. Taking on Samoa Joe, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata. The Chris Jericho learning tree thing has been really grating and annoying, and like I get what he is trying to do, but I just don't think it's fully there yet, and so maybe this starts to get sussed out a little bit more, but it's kind of been nah. The Shibata stuff has been really funny, and Samoa Joe and Hook I think is a really interesting pairing. MJF against Hechicero in a singles match. This is your, we need MJF on this card. Put him in there against Hechicero. There is no doubt in my mind, this match is going to be amazing, but MJF is way too big of a star to have a match with a guy that you have put 0 seconds into building as any kind of a legitimate threat, and you have not built this match at all. We've already focused more on MJF against Will Ospreay, more on MJF against Daniel Garcia, than we have MJF against Hechicero. I would have much rather MJF against Hechicero is their match leading in, or coming out of MJF return and building up to a match with Roosh and setting it up that way. This has been an abysmal build, and like this would be a frustrating build for anyone, but MJF is kind of supposed to be the biggest star in AEW, and this has that there's nothing to this at all. And again, the match is gonna rock, but in terms of a build, in terms of a story, in terms of getting anyone excited about it at all, nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. And MJF is one of the easiest ones to get something there with. Zack Sabre Jr. against Orange Cassidy. These two have wrestled before. It should be a really, really entertaining matchup. Zack Sabre Jr., well, obviously, one of the best technical wrestlers in all of professional wrestling for a very long time. And I think he and Orange Cassidy just have some good chemistry. So this should be fun. Singles match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship that still looks like ass. It is Jon Moxley defending his championship against Tetsuya Naito. I would imagine with Moxley not scheduled to be in the G1, that Moxley will not be retaining here. This has been a fun run the last couple of months, but I think Naito gets the win in what will feel like one of the bigger moments of the night in what should be an excellent match. Then, winner takes all match for both the AEW TBS Championship and the New Japan Pro Wrestling Women, the NJPW Strong Women's Championship. There we go. Man, I am all over the place today. I apologize. Mercedes Moné taking on Stephanie Vaquer. This is going to be a good match. These are, I think, two performers that will mesh really, really well. And honestly, like I've been talking about my frustrations with builds and such, nothing here. This one has been really good. They've done a great use of videos to get us ready for both of these performers. They have set things up with Mercedes Moné going off to Mexico to feud with Vaquer at times in CMLL. So there's a lot to get excited about, I think, with this one. I do anticipate Mercedes Moné gets the win. Then we have a trios match, as it is the Elite of Matt Jackson, Matthew Nicholas Jackson, and Kazuchika Okada taking on Scissor Ace of Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and Hiroshi Tanahashi with Daddy Ass Billy Gunn at ringside. It'll be cool that Okada and Tanahashi are in the ring together again. This will be used to build up a tag team title feud with the Acclaimed and the Elite, and I would imagine Tanahashi is the one eating the fall here. Owen Hart Cup Tournament, first round, Bryan Danielson against Shingo Takagi, two of my absolute favorite wrestlers in the world right now, going head-to-head. This is going to be a brilliant, brilliant wrestling match. I cannot wait for it. I do believe Bryan Danielson wins this match. I think he's going to progress far in this tournament. I do think at the end of the day, it'll probably be Hangman Page coming in, who I believe is going to be the wild card, coming in and picking up the win in this tournament. But setting Bryan Danielson up in some pretty fun ways moving through this tournament. And then we get to the main event. It is Swerve Strickland taking on Will Ospreay. And despite this week not necessarily reaching the highs of last week, this has still been a decently built feud and the match that I have the most intrigue around. Because with Swerve, you can very easily see this guy is just starting as a champion, just starting as a babyface. After being one of the hottest characters in your company for a while, he is going to be someone who can step up and pick up a victory and be come up with a big win over one of your big acquisitions. And he's also, I think, going to have a feud with Hangman Adam Page for the championship in a little bit. Going up against Will Ospreay, who is your big free agent acquisition. You have touted as the best wrestler in the world, and you are going to Wembley Stadium with him as the champion, makes all the sense in the world. So I don't know who wins. I think in the end, I do think you get it to Swerve Strickland. And for all of you, well, you can't beat this guy this early. The biggest star in wrestling right now is Cody Rhodes, and he lost on the biggest stage of them all. It is all about how you follow up that loss. So we will see, whoever loses this, what the follow is. But again, it's going to be an amazing night of wrestling, but that doesn't mean there aren't problems with the company. All right, that is going to do it. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, whether you're listening or watching. If you are watching, like the video. If you're listening, leave a review. Follow me on social media, at Primetime Climb. Talk to y'all later. I am out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.